On this episode of the Star Wars Report podcast, it's me with Riley. That's right, flying solo on this week's podcast, but I'm here to talk about the fallout of the trailer. The trailer that broke the internet. Take that, Kim Kardashian. So let's do it. Let's talk about it right here, right now. It's the Star Wars Report podcast.
Falcon flight with destiny.
Man, here it is, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Star Wars Report podcast. Oh man, we've got a great episode for you tonight, and we are starting it right now. And normally that's right when I've introduced Mark Herleman, but he's actually not available tonight. Mark, I see you're actually in the chat. We are broadcasting this, the Star Wars Report podcast live, but family commitments and homework loads and guests being available and then not being available. It's been a crazy weekend. So it's Tuesday night, just about 7 o'clock Eastern time. And, I'm Riley Bland, your host of this, the Star Wars Report podcast. If you like that galaxy far, far away, you've come to the right place. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Please delete as appropriate. I have a microphone in my right hand, a cup of coffee in my left hand, and the chat in front of me, and a few new stories to talk about. But before I get into the news regular, first off, a huge thank you to everybody joining us in the chat. Make sure you're following us on Twitter. My account's at The Riley Guy, and of course, at Star Wars Report. I'm always announcing when we go live, even when it's last minute, like this very evening. And so a huge, huge shout out to everybody in the chat joining us, as well as the people who are making me have the excuse on a school day, on an ROTC day, in fact, when I've been up since 4:30 in the morning to sit down, get my butt in a chair, and record about Star Wars. Lord knows I don't need that much of an excuse to talk Star Wars. But those people are our fine patrons that are supporting the show at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. And you guys who support this show here are the ones who let us hit that level early on, that we're not going to miss a week. So here we are, not missing a week. That's what this is one thing we promise you on this, the Star Wars Report podcast. This is a week that will not be missed. As far as in-depth show prep, that's what I have to say about that. But in all seriousness, I'm super excited. When last we spoke, we had not seen the trailer on this podcast. Now we have seen the trailer 500 times. And man, the expected fallout has happened. Everyone has analyzed this thing in great detail. But, I think my favorite part about the whole trailer launch experience is a show and network that, I'm sure our listeners are familiar with. But if you haven't checked it out and checked in to the Gulliverse universe of podcasts with our good friend Steve Glosson, you should. Specifically, the most recent episode of Disney Vault Talk's Rebel Yell podcast. Now, Rebel Yell is Steve Glosson and Teresa Delgado. Each week they talk about the most recent episode of Star Wars Rebels. And so we start off the episode Monday night, the night that the trailer aired. We start off talking Star Wars Rebels, and eventually just it devolves into absolute chaos as tickets become available live while we're on air. Teresa's trying to hunt down tickets for all of us. We're trying to talk Star Wars Rebels and getting totally distracted waiting for ESPN to air the trailer. It's very raw broadcasting, but the kind of podcasting that I absolutely love doing. So make sure you check out Steve Glosson's Disney Vault Talk. Steve and Teresa do a great show recapping Rebels each and every week. And if you catch their most recent episode, it'll be one where you hear me react live to seeing the Star Wars trailer. So that's kind of the thing. I didn't do the whole, you know, film yourself on YouTube thing. That seems to be like the go-to these days, is to film a reaction video. But, you know, it's, I think I prefer audio format. I don't know. I feel like there's a little bit more time, but there is something also kind of intimate and fascinating about this whole phenomenon of, filming yourself and posting it online, with reaction videos. But that's just what I wanted to get right out at the top of the show. Again, make sure you're checking out Disney Vault Talk, the Rebel Yell podcast. But, without further ado, we've got some news to talk about.
We have something to report.
Sir, I have the news.
Data brought to us by the Bothan spies.
We can send a clear transmission.
There it is. Listen.
So, speaking of the trailer, let's talk about it. Here it is. We are in the aftermath, in the final closing weeks, less than 2 months until Star Wars The Force Awakens hits theaters. And I could not be more excited. I thought I was as excited as I could possibly be, and then of course the trailer came out. So it's a really short amount of time, and I guess part of, I failed to mention right at the opening segment of the show, but part of that whole process was Teresa, in fact her mom, was able to get tickets. I feel like I need to let that sink in for a second, because if you were there Monday night trying to get tickets to this thing, It was an absolute crapshoot. It was insane. And Teresa's mom, God bless her soul, drove physically to the Alamo Drafthouse to purchase tickets for the opening night screening. And, if it weren't for that, we wouldn't be doing it. So huge shout out there. And that's why a project road trip to Austin, Texas to watch The Force Awakens with Steve and Teresa. I need a more catchy name than that. But that project is a go. So Bethany and I will be road tripping it out with one Steve Glosson and seeing The Force Awakens with friends on the big screen. And I couldn't be more excited about it. So that's kind of another part of the announcement. And I know everyone's making their plans. I'm already seeing people who had their tickets ready to go. It was the talk of ROTC this last week. Like, her other cadets were like, "I just barely got my tickets, man." And it's so fun to see that level of excitement, for sure. But let's talk about the trailer, and more specifically the fallout of the trailer, because watching it live was really interesting. And I had a chance, I'll play the clip in just a second, I had the chance to be on BBC Radio 5 on their morning show, The Breakfast, with BBC Radio 5, to talk about the trailer the morning it came out, which was an interesting experience. That's why I was up till 1 o'clock in the morning that morning. But let's start with the one takeaway that I think is most important about this trailer. I'm not really going to do the shot by shot thing. We already did that on Rebel Yell, and tons of podcasts have already really done an overabundance. Can there be too much? No, not really. But in this case, I think I just want to highlight my one most important key takeaway to this trailer. And that is what, if I were to consolidate it into one phrase, it would be ghosts of the past. It's how J.J. Abrams, this trailer showed to me more than anything else in the marketing. We got a taste of it in the Comic-Con behind the scenes reel. But J.J. Abrams in this trailer, and I shouldn't necessarily, you know, highlight J.J. specifically as the only one responsible for it, but he's kind of the go-to guy. But really, Disney as a whole, when they're talking about marketing this trailer to the wide movie-going audience that's watching Monday Night Football, they've used what I like to call this reference, this look at ghosts of the past. It's basically giving us just enough of a hint of the plot of the film to channel our nostalgia. And I say our speaking for all Star Wars fans, but to be honest, the nostalgia of Star Wars fans who've kind of checked out in the last 10, 15 years. And I think the part of the trailer that specifically points to this is when Han tells Rey and Finn that the legends of yore, the ancient stories, the Jedi, the dark side, it's all true. Now, there's the obvious reference of, you know, the former space atheist Han Solo, who's like, weapons and ancient religions are no match for good wine stretch your side, kid. That Han Solo actually saying, yeah, it's all true. He's a convert. But that's the obvious connection. I think the deeper connection that's more significant is the fact that Han Solo is once again, think about it, once again, the vehicle for the movie-going audience to connect to the characters. Because for so many Star Wars fans, and the general public at large, it's been years since we've connected with those central characters and that original trilogy universe that the entire culture fell in love with back in 77. And when Han Solo says, it's true, all the legends are true, I think he's the vehicle for J.J. Abrams and company, for Disney, to communicate the fact that that's what this movie's about. It's about the return of these legends. And the pun, ladies and gentlemen, is 100% intended.
This is the Star Wars Report podcast. Boring conversation anyway.
Okay, so let's transition. J.J. Abrams has finally offered some commentary on the trailer. And I pulled up this story. Let's see here. It is from Club Jade. And J.J. Abrams says the lack of Luke Skywalker in The Force Awakens promotional material is no accident. This is from the Associated Press. And he goes on to say, let me find it here. Oh, so he basically addressed where the production stands as well. So before we jump to that, so let's talk about the Luke Skywalker thing for just a second. So, I mean, I think where's Skywalker was the theme of this last week. Because whether it's the poster that was released or the trailer itself, the question of where's Luke is extremely important. Oh, wait, we have a caller? We have a caller on air!
And I think
I'm gonna take him. Mark, the first thing I'm gonna do is say hello. How's it going, man?
It's going good. Been listening to you the whole time.
Nice. I'm so glad, man, you have no idea how glad I am that you were able to call in. The second thing I'm gonna do is make sure your levels are good.
Alright. How am I coming in so far?
Perfect. Alright, it's working. It's working! So, we're, so let's see, I want to check my timer here and just see how far I got into, how far I got into the podcast without Mark. Of course, now, Skype is having some trouble. So I'm going to pause my recorder real quick and then we'll get Mark on and go from there. Okay. All right. We are back and so is Mark. Again, man, thanks for calling in. You get everyone dropped off at their appropriate, kids activities, all that good stuff.
I made it home. Yeah. I had time to spare. I was like, oh, look, it's only 10 minutes after 4. I'll have to bail out early because I got to go to work still, but yeah.
Well, how much time you got, man?
I've got about 40 minutes.
Okay. Yeah. That's plenty. We should, that's actually just about perfect. I just want to say for the record, I don't have the exact timestamp, but I'm super, super, weirdly proud of the fact that I went almost 20 minutes.
Yeah, you were doing pretty good. You had all the right plugs. I was like,
weird,
yeah, you know.
It's a weird, weird, challenge to try to go at it solo because you have absolutely nobody to lean on.
You were talking about people videotaping themselves, and that's what I did.
I knew I wasn't
going to be in on the episodes and stuff. I was invited to the BB thing as well, but I just let you do it. And I was like, well, I'll do this. And it was my son's scout night. So we're like, he's all dressed up in uniform. You know, we're ready to go down to scouts and I'm making him late. So he is just, you know, fidgety to the nine hells, you know, ready to go. And I swear, dude, those refs have to be Star Trek fans because they kept throwing flag after flag.
Nobody cares.
Just get the clock to zero. Come on. I was dying. That was driving me up a wall, man.
Yeah, that was a long football game. Let me tell you, and I wasn't even watching it. I was live podcasting, waiting for the freaking halftime to start. Luke Skywalker, no accident, says J.J. Abrams, and I like that. I like the fact that I think arguably the lead character of the entire original trilogy. I don't think there's much doubt there, is someone that we have no freaking idea what his role in the next film is. I mean, I have some ideas from rumors and stuff, but I honestly stopped chasing rumors around Celebration, so I haven't really heard any recent ones because I've kind of stayed clear. The Luke rumors were some of the earliest ones, so it'll be interesting to see if some of those early rumors come true or if maybe I've been misdirected, which would kind of be nice, honestly, to see if that's true. But I like the fact that JJ, he's upfront about it. He's upfront about his deception. He's saying that, yes, we're not telling you anything, which I actually find kind of comforting.
Yeah, that's the way to go. I mean, you know, there's going to be those people that were really mad about the whole con angle, but as somebody that when I watched it, I honestly, I didn't see that coming. I mean, I stayed clear of it enough that no one had thrown it that way. So when they dropped the reversal, I was like, oh, I had one of those happy O faces. One of those like, oh, you son of a face.
Yeah, no, I hear you, man. It's, and people give, Star Trek 2, too much of a bad rap, in my opinion. But that's not this podcast. Not this podcast. Another thing on the trailer. This is literally just going to be the trailer post show. It's all numbers on the trailer. Mark, all my stories are up in the show notes now if you log in. Straight from StarWars.com, they published a big thank you for the fan response to the trailer. It's incredible. It was viewed 112 million times in 24 hours. It almost broke its own record from the second trailer, if you remember that.
Nice.
Man, there's of course, shout out to the Trailer Council. Bethany was on, the Full of Sith Trailer Council, doing her reaction that night. There were all kinds of stuff. Ticket sales. The fallout was basically tens of thousands of tickets were sold. I heard 10,000 tickets were sold in 90 minutes in the UK alone when they opened up, ticket sales. All the sites were crashing as evidence when we were doing it live. There's just a level of excitement that has never been seen before in the history of cinema. When we're talking about the pre-sale tickets, more than 1,000 theaters have already sold out. I saw that number yesterday, and I'm just and I'm just floored, man. I had kind of tempered my expectations, saying, you know, Mark Newbold famously came on this very podcast. Mark, I think you may have been on at the time when we did the first teaser reaction. And he predicted it would be the biggest box office gross of all time, beating Avatar. And I'm like, I don't know, man. Economy's a little bit down since then. That was a kind of unique time. It was the advent of a new technology. The ticket prices were way more. You know, there are all these factors, but I don't know, man.
Could be applied to right now.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm just telling you, man, it's one of those things that I think I hesitate to say, in some ways, because I don't want to get too hyped up, but we might be able to kind of be a little braggadocious about the biggest box office hit of all time being a Star Wars movie. And I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the pop collar effect. You know, rub your shoulder.
Yeah.
And I think that because so many fans were rushing to the online sales angle, that small contingent of fans were able to get a certain hashtag that I'm not going to actually name myself. but I want to throw out there that the fact that hashtag trended on that day And in the end, it turned out to be like 3 to 10 people that got so many fans just up in arms, and the good hearted fans were going to bring that unholy crackdown on that hashtag and ended up, you know, raising it to the attention of regular media and stuff. And I'm just like, wow, like, you know, I had friends posting about it. I'm like, guys, stop posting about this. You guys are giving it way too much attention. These are people who are specifically trolling you, and you guys are all falling for it. And, you know, and I think that's the angle I want to talk about is the people that are doing it specifically to get reactions out of fans that are Star Wars fans. I mean, I don't really even think that these people were being truthful. I think they were just out there just to tick us off, and they knew the right chords to hit, especially in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Fandom has become really reactive to bullies and BS trolls. And I swear, man, they dangled the cheese and so many of us bit and just fought for the injustice of it all. Like, how dare you, jerks.
Yeah. I don't know. It's one of those things that, they're kind of the different schools of thought, and I don't want to dig really too deep into this, but I'll just to offer my brief commentary. It's hard, honestly. It's difficult for me to decide. I don't really come fully on one side or the other, but the schools of argument of ignoring it so you don't give them the power to make it a conversation, right? To make it, you know, the question of the day, or whether you do genuinely, go after it because, you know, that kind of racism is unacceptable. But my gut reaction, Mark, at least in this case, is I don't want to give it any more airtime, honestly. It's just, it's ridiculous. It's dumb. And it was such a small percentage. It's the kind of goons that the realist in me says will always be out there. But the more that, we keep them out of our community, if you're gonna behave that way, that's your ticket.
See, my angle is this: if you watch that trailer and you don't even get one set of goosebumps, I had goosebumps on my goosebumps. But if you don't get even one set of goosebumps,
write it down now.
You get anger. Mark, you get angry from this trailer. Star Wars
absolutely.
Is not for you.
Well, and what's funny is, Mark, write it down now. If you put it in the show notes or something, I don't actually have the ability to do it. The title of this episode is Trailer Fallout, / Goosebumps on my Goosebumps, because that has to be the title of the episode. Oh, man. But it's so true. It was a phenomenon that I think, I don't know, I don't even really fully know how to react to it, because it's sort of like it blew past even my highest expectations. And I think now that we're down to the wire in these last few weeks, I think it's truly we're getting an idea of just how big of a hit this movie is going to be.
See, and we talked about it before with Erich, where, you know, do we need any more trailers and anything like that? And I was hesitant before this came. And of course, you know, I'm going to gobble it up like the candy it is, but I really have a sense of like throw the brakes on, you know, give us nothing more at this point, because I'm seeing some great breakdowns of this trailer and the other trailers and lining up the imagery. You were talking about, you know, some of the flames and things like that. Well, the one image where Han's bringing Finn and BB-8, up through into that, like, it looks like it's a Mandalorian base that's got a bunch of flags and stuff hanging down. Later, you see Captain Phasma and Kylo Ren on that
Captain
same planet. You see what
Phasma.
Looks. I know I dropped the ball there.
no worries. Mark, I'm here for you.
But it looks like the same bunker, man. It looks like the total same bunker there. And it's like, oh, man, I didn't even see that at all. And these people are putting all that stuff together so fast. I'm like, I don't know. We don't need any more. I don't know.
I'm super excited. Let's take a listen. You know what I feel like this episode needs? This episode needs a little bit of John Boyega and his reaction to the Force Awakens trailer. Have you seen this, Mark?
I have. I watched him and Daisy release. They were great.
Right.
I love that.
So I am going to, I'm going to just play the Instagram portion, because I think that's going to be the best part. But John Boyega was with his friends, watching the trailer, and did what I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, filmed his reaction to it. So I'm going to scroll down here and find it real quick. Mark, you can entertain the people while I make sure I get the audio queued up. So there's Daisy Ridley. Ah,
you
here
know, To talk about entertaining, you know, let's just talk about Rebels for a second. There was a scene in one of the last two Rebel episodes where it was the ghost out in space. You may have seen us tweet about it. I loved it so much. It looked so almost live action that it was just unbelievable. I had to take a shot of it. And what's funny is the shot that I shared, even though it still looks great, was just me taking it from my camera from the TV. So I'm like, man, that's I can't imagine what an actual shot of that would look like, you know, from somebody that screenshot it from watching Netflix streaming of the episode. Cause man, the graphics have come so far.
Mark, you mean watching it on your friend's Disney XD login?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. Well, yeah, actually we got to talk Rebels at some point because we're what, three episodes in now, and we got another one tomorrow as we record this, so we got to actually catch ourselves up on this show at some point to talk Rebels. But all right, so here he is, John Boyega, and his reaction to the trailer, which is captioned, quote, in all caps, "The trailer is just epic." That's the quote, direct quote from John Boyega. Let's take a listen to his Force Awakens response.
What?
So when you see the whoa and the what, that's the moment that Kylo Ren ignites his lightsaber. It's so cool to see these young actors that are so into it. They get it.
Well, I almost wonder how, you know, when they're filming, how much of it they get to see and don't see. I mean, because some directors, they let the actors come back and they're watching the replays and stuff like that. And some play a little tighter to the chest, you know. And I would almost see JJ being the one like, sorry, guys, you're going to have to wait till you see it on the screen. I'm not going to let you see it over here. You know, he's got like a little box in a tent where it's all black screened off. He's like, nope, just me and these four guys. You guys are my inner circle.
Yeah.
You know, everybody else is like, come on. I want to see how it looks.
Yeah, no, I think JJ probably hasn't let them in too much. So that's why you do see a really genuine, I think, reaction from him. And Daisy Ridley had a pretty good one too. But yeah, that's probably, I don't know. In China, the trailer debuted on the Great Wall. I don't know if you heard about that, Mark, but that was.
No, that sounds like it'd be fun.
Yeah, no. But, there's one more article I want to hit up on the
phone. I totally missed a great pun though. That's great.
Mark. Oh God. Oh man. All right. So Mashable. Will Plaitzer. Mashable has an article by Chris Taylor. And, it's a pretty interesting, it's basically how the Star Wars trailer conquered the universe. See what they did there? Sure, it's like the book, but it's not the thing. But the Mashable, the first title of the temp title for this blog post was "How Mashable Conquered the Ad Universe," because they have a pop-up ad that covers their entire site. Boo, Mashable. Okay, so here we go. Here's the numbers by raw numbers. 9.6, the overnight ratings for the Nielsen ESPN Monday Night Football game. This means roughly 10 million households were watching their game live or DVRs immediately after. This is a 13% increase. This means about 1.5 to 2 million people tuned in just for Star Wars. 14.6 million was the number of the official trailer's YouTube page as of 4 p.m. Eastern. That was very early on, within hours. 8.9 million within hours. That was the number on Facebook of seeing of those who saw the trailer. $6.5 million. That was revenue generated for IMAX screening sales alone on opening night. Compare
Holy.
That. The previous record for first day pre-sales of IMAX tickets was The Dark Knight Rises, which was 1 million. This is 6.5 million.
Wow.
Again, over
Disney's like, now do you see it was not a bad gamble to buy Star Wars? I mean, there's probably like four guys that everybody's like, oh man, $4.4 billion. I don't know, man.
That's chump change,
you know,
man.
Bob, we're making a mistake.
I'm telling you, man, that's chump change. That's $4 billion is nothing. They'll make that in this movie alone. Like, or maybe one more between the toy sales and everything. So a few more numbers. The last number that Fandango had for pre-sales on movie tickets was The Hunger Games in 2012. So, and Hunger Games had a near record $150 million opening weekend in November. That's pretty competitive. That's more than Avatar had. Avatar just had a long tail. It just, people kept going to see it. But compare that in terms of the number of pre-sales that, Hunger Games did back in 2012. Force Awakens. See,
and with Avatar, like, I did the same thing. I mean, that was just a really cool new look. So I went back, but this is a film that I plan on doing the same thing for different reasons. I mean, you know, you think about all the little tidbits that these fans that have pointed out with the trailer alone. You know, these are just minute little clips, you know, of the full film. Imagine the stuff that's seated in here that you're going to be able to see on your second and third, you know, viewing. You're like, oh, look in the corner. There's, you know, so-and-so's helmet and so-and-so's staff. And, oh, I mean, just when we were at the TFA Museum at Star Wars Celebration Anaheim, you know, we're looking at the end of Rey's staff and the way it almost looked like Exar Kun's double-bladed lightsaber was attached to it at the end. I mean, you know, the little details that you never notice watching something a thousand times, and then you're like, oh wait.
Wow. That,
oh my goodness.
Yeah, no, it's crazy, man. And of course, the last number I think we need to go over, $2,000. That's the price of some tickets being sold on eBay for the opening weekend. Oh man. Most of them are going for like a mere $50, $60, $100.
You know, and there's a dual school of camp there. Some people are like, well, hey, if you're smart enough to take advantage of it, go for it. And then there's others that's like, there's a special place in the nine hells for you, you scalpers. You know, I'm almost of the mindset of like, well, you know, in a situation like this with so many different venues, you really are smart to buy, you know, I mean, if you're going to a theater that has a table with steak service and stuff like that, heck yeah, buy those things and scalp the heck out of them. Somebody's going to pay for it. If not, you're going to enjoy some steak dinners and watch that movie a lot.
It's the free market, Mark Herlman. That's the way it works. It reminds me of the old Jimmy Fallon episode one song, which I can't remember. I can't remember the words off the top of my head, but it is an old SNL bit that mentioned scalpers. Alright, so let's transition real quick to our last story. But before we do, we're gonna take a quick break, ladies and gentlemen, because poor old Riley Blanton's pretty tuckered out. So we're gonna take a quick break and be right back with you to talk about the music of the Force Awakens trailer. It's been a matter of discussion amongst a lot of podcasts and blogs. So we're going to touch on it and our thoughts on the trailer music to the Force Awakens before we wrap up, and it's going to be right after this. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, man. It's trailer talk. Quite a fallout, Mark. The entire episode dedicated to just the trailer fallout. Not even a shot-by-shot review. Just the fallout. And this show wouldn't be happening. I mentioned it at the beginning, and I want to mention it again now. Huge shout-out to our patrons, our supporters at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. We really appreciate those who are making this program happen. Help us save up a little bit more change. We're working towards upgrading our microphones and mixers. And Riley's getting a new hard drive for his laptop. So these are the kinds of things that are required to do a quality program that we want to do for you guys. And you're making it possible over at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. If you want some bonus content and to join those who are supporting us, you can do the same. Again, that's patreon.com/StarWarsReport. That's patreon.com/StarWarsReport. Let's talk about some Star Wars music and trailers coming right up. Well, I gotta say, Mark, there's one best part of this entire song, and that best part of the song is right here.
Yeah.
So good. So good. I'm a big fan.
It's like the song's even agreeing with you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's good.
It's
yeah,
the
yeah,
Emperor's
it's
theme.
Good.
It's the Emperor's theme in reverse, in a major key. I learned that on Star Wars Oxygen. So, fair disclosure. I'm a music nut. I played guitar for nearly 15 years. I love John Williams and the Star Wars soundtracks. I heard the soundtracks many times, over and over again, because my older siblings would play them, long before I ever saw the movie. So I was intimately familiar with all the music of Star Wars before I ever saw any of the movies. And it's a really special, if not the most special part of the entire saga. And the music, Mark, to this trailer has been making a lot of waves.
Aww.
A lot of waves. So,
why?
No.
It's so good.
Well, it's really good. And most, I mean, the reaction has been very largely positive.
I mean, let's just say like this. You could tell me that's John Williams and I would believe you.
Well, exactly. But here's the interesting part. It's not John Williams. And I would have sworn upon that first hearing that, oh, it's gotta be John Williams, because it starts off with this very light plink of the piano keys. Ding! And it's something that's interesting because that's very trendy these days. This is something that Jimmy Mack has been talking about on Rebel Force Radio. He's really the person who brought this forward in terms of discussion. I personally like it. I talked about it on Rebel Yell. I like how this trailer's very understated. It doesn't have your big blockbuster typical wow Inception style, trailer that has giant epic trailer music. Like, Mark, if you can entertain the people for just a brief moment, I'm going to pull up, I think, a good example of what most modern blockbuster trailers sound like.
Oh, the good stuff. He's bringing us the creme de la creme of the music industry. You know, I'm just one of those that I guess I really don't care. I'm that way with my art in the comic world too. Like, I really should be focused on, you know, who's doing the art that I like. And it's the same thing when it comes to the music. Like, it sounds like Star Wars to me. You know, when we listened to the Clone Wars music, that sounded like Star Wars enough to me that I don't know. I mean, if it's got the right key elements to it, I'm down. And
yeah.
This one, like I said, you could have totally told me that was John Williams. I would have bought that all day.
Well, so here's the interesting thing, though. So trailer composition in terms of both visuals, audio, and trailer music is an art form.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they put probably way more focus and money and time on these brief minute and a half, 2 minute trailers than you would ever see in just a scene in a movie. And that's because it's so important. And so it's interesting to see that the trailer begins kind of trendy and then transitions into John Williams. But still, it's very understated in a way that John Williams, I think, is well known for. But here's an example of the Two Steps from Hell is literally a company that does nothing but compose trailer music. And take a listen to this. This is the kind of trailer music that you are normally used to hearing. So take a listen to this. Right? It's like, this summer, see the biggest superhero movie in years from director Zack Snyder, Superman. So you have
Zod's
it.
Back for more!
I'm just making up stuff as I go. Two Steps from Hell, by the way, great music, but not very Star Wars-y, right? But I kind of liked... You know what it reminded me of, this music? It reminded me of, kind of a Harry Potter sound, which of course John Williams did.
That's funny, because for me, I don't know why, I was thinking Lord of the Rings, and it has no sound like it, but I was like, yeah, it's the battle march, man, they're going to war!
Sorry, I just had my mic muted. I'm going to pull up the Force Awakens trailer music, because someone stripped out all the dialogue. And it's just the music. So let's take a listen
nice. Right
here. This is the beginning, and this is what it sounds like. Please, YouTube gods, don't make it an ad. Yeah, here we go. All right, so here it is. There's that piano. Again, you hear these like super, super brief light notes.
But empty space.
The final frontier. These are the voyages.
I mean, those keys and the way you have Ray dropping down, everything about this screams empty space.
But,
you know, you're on a fringe planet in the middle of nowhere, and on that middle of nowhere, you're out in the middle of nowhere, and you're in this big ship, and when you look at it, she's in the middle of the nowhere parts of this ship.
Yeah.
And it's like the tones, you fall in between the tones into that nowhere.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what I want? You know what I think? I just had to restart the broadcast for those of you listening live. That would be why. It cut out for a second. You know why this is, why I think this fits right into the John Williams theme and style? And this is the specific part that people are kind of claiming is trendy. But listen, I'm going to rewind it back, Mark, and just play along with me for just a moment. Right here. Here we go. You have bum. Bum. Very specific notes. That part right there is done. It's a theme.
It almost sounds like a harp.
It's a distinct theme. Again, they do it again. They repeat it right here. Now you have the violins in the background.
So you're saying this is Ray's theme?
I don't know, but now listen, right here. Dun. Same theme. Exactly the same thing, and now, Han and Leia. Now, granted, it's Han and Leia's theme, but done in a sort of modern style, but it's still there. It's like,
yeah,
you hear like the big kettle drums in the background of Han and Leia's theme there. It's like, da, 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 da. And it's like, bum, bum. But I love it. I think it conveys just the right amount of building excitement. But I thought, forget the whole rest of the trailer, because yes, we hear the main Star Wars theme softly. We hear the Force theme in this big way, like right here. Again with those big kettle drums. But more importantly, I think, is the beginning of the trailer. Right at the beginning. That's a distinct theme. Now, is it something John Williams composed? I don't know. But I think it fits into something that you would see with Star Wars. And I hope, I actually really like it. I hope that would be our first taste of a new theme that was composed for The Force Awakens.
It's glorious.
I'm sorry. I think we were both left slightly speechless after that. But I have to, of course. All right, I'll do it justice, and I want to play the rest of the music right here.
Yay!
And then you know what, Mark? I think this is the best way to cap off the episode. We'll play out the music. And then give our closing comments right after this awesomeness. Let it in.
Oh, those goosebumps are back.
it's the themes we know, but done in a fresh new way. And I think it stays very true to the roots of Star Wars. And I will say, I love the drums. The whole kettle drum thing. It's kind of Pirates of the Caribbean sounding, right? Love it. Give me more. Mm-hmm. More kettle drums. Forget cowbell.
I'm loving the brass horns, man. There's just something about the way it builds and the classic songs being there. It just, that's what's weird. It's like if that alone can't move you, man, you must have a heart of stone.
I know, man. All right. So I'm going to, before we close out the episode, I do have one final piece of audio, Mark, and that is, for those of you who did not hear me on BBC, I got a call after finding our site and tweeting us. I got an email and then a call from a producer for BBC Radio 5's The Breakfast, and we arranged a quick interview that appeared ever so briefly on BBC Radio 5. Now, Mark, I didn't realize that BBC Radio 5, which is the BBC morning radio in England. It's their big morning show on the sports and entertainment channel. The thing has freaking 5.5 million listeners. So I had no idea. I mean, obviously I knew BBC was a big deal, but I certainly didn't know that was going to be a factor. So let's take a listen. This is yours truly on BBC, and then we'll close out the episode from there.
6:55. If you're a Star Wars fan, get your lightsabers ready. There's a new trailer out.
Nothing will stand in our way. Finish what you started.
There are stories about what happened.
It's true. All of it.
Yes, there is some excitement here in the studio about this new trailer. It is the third, what we think is the final trailer before Star Wars The Force Awakens opens on December the 18th in the UK. I spoke earlier to Riley Blanton, who's the editor-in-chief of Star Wars Report in Atlanta. I asked him what he made of it.
Man, it was an incredible experience because I was gathered with a bunch of my friends online. We were waiting for it to drop online, and when it finally did, we're already sold. We're going to go see this film. So why would they release another trailer? And I think it's really, they're taking the chance to showcase this film. And boy, we ate it up. It's just an absolute treat because we got to see more than I thought we would. And it was amazing.
Everyone's looking for little spoilers, little story clues in what's been shown. So can you tell us anything? Can you read anything into what we saw?
Yeah, because that's the thing, is that the Star Wars fans were crazy. We absolutely love to dig in and see all the details. And that's something that they've been really good about, because even in this trailer, you can't really tell a whole lot about the specific plots of the film. The real big question everyone's asking is, where's Luke Skywalker? Mark Hamill. We know he was part of the filming process, but we don't know where he is. And so as far as the film itself goes, J.J. Abrams and company have done a really good job of showing us some of the set pieces and the action, but not much of the plot.
We see Han Solo, though. We also see a brief glimpse of Princess Leia and a brief glimpse of the Darth Vader death mask.
Yes, yes. And that's really the intrigue here, because it's interesting, because I think JJ's really capturing the nostalgia that Star Wars fans have for the original trilogy in the plot of the film itself, because the theme of this trailer is very much a sort of mystic looking back at what once was. And in a way, in the world of Star Wars, when we're talking about Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher, Mark Hamill, TIE fighters, all of these visuals, Star Wars fans haven't seen these in almost 30 years, so it's sort of our return to these old legends.
Fabulously named Riley Blanton, talking to me earlier on. Adam, you see, he's been looking at this very carefully. He thinks he has seen Luke Skywalker in this trailer.
There is a bit in the trailer where there is somebody with their back to the camera who is sort of putting their hand on top of R2-D2, and I suspect, my guess is that is Luke Skywalker.
The thing that annoys me about this is I've allowed myself to get sucked into the hype.
Yes.
I'm not a huge Star Wars fan.
You're embracing the Force. You it's living through you, Rachel.
What it is. You have, it's been finally, a long time since I've embraced the Force, let me tell you.
You have come round to the right way of thinking.
There were really website websites crashing all over the place yesterday as people bought their tickets for this film in advance, which you've done.
I have done, yeah. I they went on sale at 8 o'clock. I bought mine at 8:01, yeah. And at 8:02 I got an email from saying they're on sale.
Was that, but is that to see it on the first night that it comes out? Because I had some people on social media going, I got the final ticket in the cinema for the first night.
Well, 1 minute past midnight.
They could just watch it the next day.
Not the point.
Okay.
Coming up after 7 o'clock, as Oscar Pistorius is released from prison, we'll speak to someone who knows him well.
Oh, BBC Radio. You gotta love him. You gotta love him. You're right, Stuff D in the chat. It is fabulous. Oh, man, I sounded so radio there, Mark. I was terrible. But the problem is that I was like, there's something about you call in, like, they do a pre-interview, and then an hour later you call in and talk to the engineer, and they do all the sound testing. And so, like, you've got your little segment, because you know it's like a two-minute segment. It's not going to be that long, so you got to get in there, say what you're going to say, and then get out. And, like, I'm so... Well, the interesting thing about it is the dead of it. I'm like, oh, good God, Riley. That's not my style at all. But it was an absolute blast and a unique opportunity for sure. So I huge thank you to the folks over at BBC Radio 5 who had me on. That's pretty cool. How about them apples? So Bethany was off recording with Full of Sith with her reaction. I was calling into BBC Radio. Mark was watching it live with his son in this Boy Scout uniform. We'll all remember where we were and what we were doing when the final trailer to Star Wars The Force Awakens came out. We'll also remember all of the fallout, which has been this episode. So huge thank you to everybody who tuned in. Huge thank you to everybody's listening live. Huge thank you to Mark Herleman for calling in and saving my butt.
That's, saving the bacon!
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. This would have been a really interesting episode if it was just me solo the whole time. So, Mark, my Wookiee co-pilot, appreciate your help as always, sir. Where can folks find you and what you're up to?
Oh, you can always find me on Facebook as myself. I'm on Twitter as IllogicalRogue2. And I'm posting things on the Star Wars Report all the time.
Absolutely, nicely done. And then, of course, you can find me. I'm on Twitter as well. It's at the Riley Guy. That's where I do things like post links to that BBC audio and do things like tweet out my responses to the thoughts of what's going on in the old community. It's Star Wars fever time. So join me on the old social media. It's at the Riley Guy. That's both Instagram and Twitter and Snapchat. That's the Riley Guy. That's all you need to remember. R-I-L-E-Y. StarWarsReport.com is your home for everything Star Wars Report and all the other podcasts on our network. Make sure that you're subscribed to the show. Always subscribe to the show through iTunes, even if you listen to it through some other method. That really helps, you know, those numbers go up, those rankings go up, and more people will find the show and hopefully join the Star Wars Report community. Speaking of the Star Wars Report community, I can speak, I promise. I spec, that's what I think of every time I stumble over my words. Qui-Gon Jinn chastising Jar Jar. Speaking of the Star Wars Report community, you can join us. It's at Star Wars Report on Twitter and Star Wars Report, Facebook.com/Star Wars Report. Finally, make sure if you want to join us, send us your thoughts on the trailer, email StarWarsReport@gmail.com. That's the way you want to go. And as always, join us almost each and every weekend, usually on Saturday nights. That's when we record these episodes. It's at StarWarsReport.com/live, and that's where you want to be. So, without further ado, I'm going to put the wraps on this episode of the Star Wars Report podcast. A mere, what, 7 weeks? 7 weeks, yeah. Till we see The Force Awakens in theaters. How about them apples? There are apples, and I'm
applesauce.
I'm asking how about them. All right, folks, remember, many Bothans died to bring you this very podcast. There it is. Another episode in the can.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody, for
Andy, watching The Flash. I started watching that show. Good show.
Yeah, yes, indeed. It gets better, too, the further on you go. How about that Walking Dead?
I just finally got through the first season. I'm like, the Walking Dead. Oh my God.
Yeah. we can't talk about it. Okay. So let me stop the recorder here and then we'll plan, this episode's release. Thanks to everybody. We'll see y'all next week.